turn with me to Gospel of Luke and chapter 10. Luke and chapter 10. And we will read together once again from verse 17. Up to verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, up to verse 20. It says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, we have been on a tour of duty, if you like, in the Gospel of Luke. And a couple of weeks ago, we began chapter 10. And if you will recall, in chapter 10, the Lord Jesus sends these 36 pairs, two by two. If you like, these were like a prototype of missionaries that would go to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the Jews. And this was like a short missionary journey, and they were like going ahead of him. You recall the entire context that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the road to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and the scripture says that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, where he was going to die, where he was going to give his life a ransom for many. And he sent these evangelists ahead of him in the cities that he himself was going to visit. And so they go ahead and they proclaim the message. And in verse 17, we are now beginning to see they are returning, and they are coming with a good and encouraging report to the Lord Jesus. So they return and they bring this report. And the whole, you know, report is sort of a moment of great joy. It's a moment of great rejoicing for the disciples. So the 72 returned, we are told there, with joy. And they were eager to report to the Savior, to report to the Lord Jesus, the kind of success stories that they had encountered. The things that they saw in terms of the gospel being successful, the gospel changing lives, the gospel being received by many, and part of that particular story is that they were so happy that not only were human beings being converted, that the disciples were aware that, you know, there was this element to their joy, that even the demons were subject to us in your name. This was the report of the disciples. So, If you wanted a title to our sermon this evening, is The Joy of the Evangelists. If you like, The Joy of the Disciples. And this joy is one that's as a result of seeing the gospel go forward. It's seeing the gospel have effect. It's seeing the gospel change the lives of those who received that message. That's what we see here. And God willing, in future, this is what we are going to be expounding upon. Now, the first thing then I want us to consider this evening is the nature of the joy of the disciples. So, it's the joy that all true Christians know. And if you're here this morning, our brother was reminding us of the privilege that God has laid upon us as Christians. And what is that privilege that God has laid upon us? It is that we are ambassadors. We are representatives. We are, as it were, and this is what happens if you think about being an ambassador. You will be able to see the building that the ambassador operates from, and then you'll be able to see the flag of the country that he represents. It's quite obvious. It's very visible when you see the building and when you see the flag, that this is indeed the ambassador, and he is here to represent his country in this nation. He is here to represent his country. This is what, as Christians, we are. We are here to represent the kingdom of God. If you like, to put it more clearly, we are here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we represent the Lord Jesus Christ by communicating the good news of the kingdom of God, by being faithful stewards of the message of salvation that has been brought into this world by our Savior. And it is always a matter of great joy for Christians whenever we see that that message of the gospel is having an impact. It is making progress. It is changing the lives of those who hear, who listen, believe it, and embrace it. It is a matter of great joy. Indeed, this is what, as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are meant to live for. Why is it that God saved you and me and did not immediately take us into heaven after saving us? The reason why is because there is a work to be done by us. And that work is simply to advance the gospel. God has ordained that we should be the ones who would take that message of the gospel forward. And wherever we find that there is darkness, wherever we find that there is ignorance, wherever we find that people are heathen and pagan, we are to lift the light of the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And this is what we are being taught here. The disciples returned, these evangelists returned, and they were filled with joy because of what they experienced as they took the message of the gospel. Now, they were excited because many people believed the message. But what struck them more than that was that even the demons were subject, were obedient to the disciples because of the name of Jesus. This is very, very significant. And it is significant because the apostles understood clearly why the demons were subject to them. The demons were subject to the disciples, not because the disciples were disciples as such, because of the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. You know there's that wonderful passage in Acts chapter 19 of the sons of Sceva who went about to cast out demons. They were like some exorcists. And so one of the demons that they were exorcising actually turned back and spoke to them and says, you know, you, Jesus, we know. In fact, it's Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. And who are you? That was the question that they were asked. And they were overpowered. They were beaten. And the reason there is obvious is because these people were using the name of Jesus flippantly. They were using the name of Jesus in vain. They had no personal relationship with Christ. They had not been transformed by the gospel. And so they just assumed that saying the name of Jesus like a magic wand, or like a, you know, something that people would use flippantly, would work. Unfortunately, it did not work. So in here, we see that great joy of the disciples. But as we see this great joy, we see exactly what the gospel comes to do in this world. The gospel is primarily is not just an argument that we tell people about and try and convince them to believe the facts of the gospel. The gospel is a message that is spiritual in nature, because quite apart from the fact that human beings are depraved and in sin, the scriptures tell us that human beings are under the power of our greatest enemy, the devil. That there is a spiritual being who is actually running the lives of people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, this is a passage I am sure that we have dealt with. Our brother has been taking us in a series in Ephesians, and we have looked at that passage. But if you just go back there, you can see what I mean. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, say, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." It's exactly what has happened to us because of sin. That the devil is at work in the lives of those who are not Christians. Now, it doesn't mean that they are demon-possessed, but it definitely means that they are under the influence of the devil. And according to the Lord Jesus, according to the Gospel of Luke, to become a Christian is an experience in which, a spiritual experience at that, in which God delivers us from the power of the devil, and now we become the children of God. It is an experience in which we are delivered from that prince of the power of the air, that spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, and we are rescued from him. We are delivered from the kingdom of darkness. We are introduced into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it is such a profound experience to become a Christian. And this is what the disciples discovered. This is what the disciples became aware of as they were serving the Lord and preaching the gospel. They were glad that even the demons were subject to them in the name of Christ. Now, it also must be mentioned here that the phenomenon of demon possession was something that was well known at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it appears that when Christ came and began his ministry, the activity of the devil was, it just became, it's like it was on steroids. Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ was, or wherever he was preaching, there were people who were not only demon-possessed, but were trying to intimidate him, for instance, by saying things like, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God." And the Gospels tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ would rebuke the demons and command them to be quiet. So there was this unusual activity of Satan that was heightened when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the days of his flesh. He was conducting his ministry. He was teaching. So he wherever he went, he was casting out demons. He was rebuking the devil. Because of his heightened activity, it's quite clear that the enemy knew that their time was short. That the Lord Jesus Christ, in advancing the kingdom of God, he had actually come to bind the works of the devil. He had come to destroy the works of the devil. He had come to defeat, or to use the words of Genesis chapter 3, to crush the head of the serpent. And in the process, he himself would have his heel bruised. So this was actually what's going on here. It is that the Lord Jesus Christ has now come to undo what the first Adam had done by disobeying God and, as it were, making allegiance with the enemy of our souls, the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ has now come, and as the strong man, he is going to bind Satan. And then many will be released. So, that is what it means to be a Christian. It means you have been delivered from the power of darkness. It means you have been delivered from the influence of Satan and his demons. It means you now belong to God. The Holy Spirit comes to take residence in you, so that now you are not under the power of Satan. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to tell his disciples. He tells them in verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." And if you are a child of God, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have complete immunity from the enemy. By that, I do not mean you're not going to be attacked by the devil. I mean by that, that finally, whatever it is that the devil will attempt to do, he cannot destroy you. You have been rescued. You have been delivered. You have been set apart from the power of darkness, so that the devil, try as he may, he cannot hurt the people of God. Now, he might hurt your body. In fact, it may be, as we have seen in the history of the church, you might become a martyr. You might lose your life because of the activity of the devil. But even that, in the ultimate sense, cannot hurt you at all. In that great hymn of Martin Luther, "The body they may kill, but they cannot ultimately do you any harm at all." Why? Because in Jesus Christ, our Savior, we have immunity from all the power of the enemy. And this is why the devil, in desperation, was trying in vain to attack the Lord Jesus in the days of his flesh and to do all kinds of things, because he knew the one appointed by God to rescue sinners from his hands, from his clutches, had finally come. That seed of the woman, spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, he had finally arrived on the scene. And he had given, delegated that power to those evangelists who went out and preached. And here they are, returning with great joy because of what God is doing through the gospel. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means, dear friends, first and foremost, that the greatest need human beings have, wherever you might find them, is this gospel. Because it is through this gospel that they will be rescued from the devil. Now, I have not met any people who show like they are demon possessed since I came to the United States. Where I grew up, that phenomenon was very common. And in fact, I recall when I was a young Christian, when I became a Christian, that there was a lot of people who were performing exorcisms of people. They would be holding crusades and meetings, and you know, and at the end of those meetings, they were praying and trying to exorcise demons. But what I have come to believe the scriptures teach, that thing that people need, wherever you find them, whatever their spiritual condition, their greatest need is to hear the message of our beloved, of our great Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. It is as they believe that message, it is as they embrace the Christ offered in that message, that they are delivered from the power of Satan. that they are going to be rescued from demons, that they are going to be set free from the power of darkness. This is how desperately in need this world is. And if you and I keep silent, you can see that what we are actually doing is, by our silence, we are promoting the work of the enemy. The only way in which any group of people, any society, in any part of this world will be delivered from the power of darkness is through the gospel. Now, we shall see later on as we proceed in this particular passage what God has done. But let me just end here this evening by reminding you of Revelation chapter 20. And I don't want you to turn to it. I'm just going to remind you for it. Revelation chapter 20 is one of those passages in which sort of is always associated with controversy. But if you read it prayerfully, I can definitely assure you, you will see great light in that passage. And the interpretation that I want you to have is this: that the passage tells us of the serpent who is bound for 1,000 years. And this is what not just me, but many other people believe that means. But if you look at the history of redemption, that in the beginning, there was only one nation under heaven which had gospel light, which had the revelation from God that leads to salvation. And it was the Jews. And then, in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he died, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended back into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And the apostles began to preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem and going to the ends of the earth. Now, that is the period that symbolizes the binding of Satan. Because now, not the truth of the gospel, or the truth of the revelation of God that leads to salvation, is not only with one nation. That revelation is now going to all the nations. And that is what is happening in the day in which you and I live. It's the day in which we take the gospel light to the ends of the earth. Because that is the way in which we can actually see the binding of Satan in real life. Wherever the gospel light goes, you see Satan is bound. And that is the sense in which I would like you to understand that statement. The Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And that is saying that when you take the gospel, you are going to undermine the structure that the devil has put in place in whatever place you go to. The gospel is what is going to bring down that structure that the enemy has set in place. It's that gospel light that we must take to the ends of the earth, beginning where we are here in Casa Grande. Let's take that gospel with great joy, because we know it is the message that brings down the strongholds of Satan, the activity and influence of the devil over a people. The message of the gospel of Jesus. Are you excited to send the gospel? Are you excited to take the gospel to a dying and needy world? Is this what you are living for? Is this what you desire to see? That men and women, boys and girls, might come, believe in that message, and be saved. I hope and I pray that this is going to be what you and I live for, what this church exists to do in this society, to lift a banner for Christ and proclaim the gospel until the strongholds of the devil are completely undermined and crumble because of that intense light of the gospel of our Savior. So I encourage each one of us, dear friends, this is our duty. This is our calling. And this is the reason why God has allowed us to exist in this battle.